If I can have your attention here in the media center, we are joined by the reigning Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion and the driver who will start up front in tomorrow's Coke Zero Sugar 400, and that is Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske. We're going to open the floor up for questions. Raise your hand if you have them. We're going to start with Holly, then go to Greg.
Hi, Joey. Holly Kane, the NASCAR Wire Service. So as it turns out, you're going to be starting on pole. I wondered where you felt like you would have qualified had you done it that way. And secondly, you know, what are your thoughts? Is that where you like? Do you feel confident that's going to be a good position?
I think anytime you can be first, it's a good position. That's where I want to be all the time. Beginning or the end, I want to be first all the time. Where we would have qualified, I don't really care. We were first. I don't know. I don't care. I know I'm probably the one that's not complaining about it, though. I thought we never made a qualifying run to really know where our single car speed was going to be. Not that we're banking on rain or anything like that. It just played out that way. So we'll take it. I've never had a super speedway pole before, and I don't know if this actually counts as one or not, but I'm starting first and I'm counting it, and that's all that matters.
Go to Greg.
Greg Engel, AutoWeek and CupScene.com. As kind of you're the reigning champion, so you're kind of one of the leadership kind of guys. What do you think about this being the last July 4th race here at Daytona? Next year it's going to be at the end of August. Is that a big deal as a traditionalist? I don't know if you grew up watching the July 4th race or coming here, or is it that big of a deal that this is the last one?
You know, I think traditions are important, and I think as a sport we stay true to a lot of traditions. But I also think if you don't change tradition, you will always be where you're at, right? You can never move forward. And where I think about where this race is going to be placed next year, the final race before the playoffs, here we go, right? I mean, if you think about if you come into this race and you think your 30 points did a good and you think you're going to be all right to getting into this playoffs, I wouldn't think that's a safe place to be at all. You definitely want to be ahead of that because you never know who's going to win this thing, right? I mean, there's a good chance the fastest cars and the best teams usually win, but there's also a good chance that they all crash and someone that doesn't typically win wins this race. We've seen that plenty of times too. So I don't think there's a safe place unless you are a for sure lock going into it. So I think that piece of it, even though it's not on 4th of July and we're all so used to it being on this weekend, this race being here, but I think where it's going to be placed is just going to add drama. And I don't see that where that's a bad thing in sports at all.
Yep. We'll go next to Claire, then to Dustin, then to Christian.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Joey, what did you think about Brad Keselowski's move on the track during practice yesterday? And have you ever been frustrated or talked to him about people blocking the wrong way? He said there's two kinds of blocking, and one requires you to make a decision to lift, and he said, "I'm not lifting."
I mean, I guess he sent the message. that's what he said afterwards, I guess, right on TV, and I'd say message delivered to the field. I guess he had the opportunity to send the message, and he did. The rest of it, I guess, you have to ask him, right? It's not my place to talk about our conversations publicly, obviously. He was frustrated about the way he's been raced. Obviously, that's just what he said to everyone on national television. So I guess he felt like that was his opportunity to send the message.
Let me throw it to you a different way. Have you ever been frustrated by that? You know, like there's two kinds of blocking, he said. One in which people force you to either drive through them or lift, and that's what frustrated mm-hmm. him. Can you talk about that? Have you been frustrated with that?
Well, it's definitely different kinds, you know, and if you're going to, I think there's a lot of blocking that's accepted, especially in today's world of racing and especially in stock car racing. And even this year, maybe more than ever with the 550 rules where, you know, places like Chicago or Kansas or Charlotte, like it's more something we're all getting used to and it's kind of part of it. But there is that other level where the guy that's getting blocked has to give unless you both crash. And at that point, if you're willing to make that move, you have to be willing to take the punches with it, right? You got to be willing to take the hit that you're going to be receiving in the back bumper, or you're crossed up, or you got to be willing to say we're going to crash. It's a risky move. Those risks will be taken any time, you know, whether it's early in the race, definitely at the end of the race, where those blocks will happen. And I'm not saying that I won't. I will too. It's part of it. We're all going to do it because it's just the way we race these days. And you just got to be ready for the repercussions of that action one way or the other.
Go next to Dustin, then to Christian, then to Lee, then to Hill.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Joey, kind of on that same point, can you give me a better sense of how you judge the risk versus reward in when you make a move? Obviously, you've led a lot of these races. You've controlled both lanes in the past. Sometimes that's an easy move. Sometimes that's an aggressive move. Can you give me a sense of how that risk-reward plays into it, and how has that changed at all with this type of package this year and how you try to do things?
Yeah, I mean, you try to weigh it as much as you can in the 0.2 seconds you have, right? But you know, the risk is weighed in your preparation, right? And how confident you feel and where the other car is, how confident you feel in your spotter, and what you feel like you have to be doing at that moment in the draft, right? Is it one of those moments where you can say, okay, it's 50 laps into the race, let's not make you want to make the block, but you know, maybe it's a little too close to cut early in the race. If it's the end of the race and you're willing to go for it, then you're going to do it, right? So, but you have that made up in your mind before the moment happens, I believe, at least, or at least you should, right? And also you should be, you know, there's good blockers and bad blockers on the racetrack too. It's not just something that you just do, right? There's some that are just better at it, where their blocks are more precise or quicker, you know, to where it never gets to the point where the car's going to get to your back bumper, right? And you're never going to get to that point before it happens. Those are the guys that are good at it. And there's some that are a little bit lazier to make the block and they're a little slower to it and they see it later or whatever it is. Those are the ones that get pushed around and get wrecked.
Christian?
Yep. Christian Brewer, WFTV, now over to your left. Joey, with so much less track time in July versus when you guys are here for February, how do you approach, we hear so much about you got to team up maybe to work on the inside line when maybe you don't know who has that strong a car in July?
Yes, you know, when I look at speedway racing, I guess I got to go back, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago when, you know, the Gibbs cars worked together for maybe the first time that we've seen, you know, four cars be that selfless. I think it was in the Daytona 500. And I think that was quite the evolution of speedway racing right there, because we all realized at that point, if we want to knock them out, right, we want to beat them, we have to join forces. And we've seen Ford do a good job at that in the past. And then we go to Talladega, and I feel like we've seen the next level that we've seen the Chevys do. Right now it's forced the garage again to somehow come up with an alliance to beat them, right? That's what we have to do. So it's just evolving. Super speedway racing is in general, and it always has, right? And it's something that you can take any kind of rules package and all these different things, and it doesn't really matter. It's about what the mentality is on the racetrack, right? I mean, there's nothing that makes these cars want to single file up against the wall with one rules package more than the other. It's just what the driver's attitude is and what they think is going to happen, right? If you get in your mind that the top's going to work and you have six or seven cars that think the top's the only way it works, well, guess what? Once there's six or seven up top, then you have to go up there. Everyone has to. Even if you don't believe in it, you still have to go up there because the only way you're going to race. That doesn't matter what the rules package is. So it's the same thing with this. Now it seems like you're going to have to somehow work as a team to be able to win this thing or even to be in the top 10. I think this is kind of how this race is going to play out.
Go next to Lee, then to Hill, then to Jerry, then to Martin.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. You finished on the podium last two intermediate tracks. We're going to Kentucky next week where you're still looking for your first win. since they changed the configuration of that track, has it been more in your wheelhouse, less in your wheelhouse, and what do you expect at that racetrack?
I guess I haven't been as successful at that racetrack since they've redone it. I guess my Xfinity stats early in my career were really good there. We've run well there since they reconfigured it. We just haven't won yet. Any reason? I don't know. I mean, it's a completely different racetrack. It doesn't even look the same, right, from what it used to be. And once again, it's going to be quite a different racetrack when you come there with this rules package. That's where it's really going to affect us a lot on how we race each other. One and two, obviously, is going to be pretty easy wide open, but three and four is not going to be. And when you have cars that we have right now that when you get in dirty air and that flat entry to turn three, I'd expect the track to widen out a little bit to where we're all be looking for air.
And, you know, back to the question everybody's been asking, does it matter who it is who's putting on the block, whether you lift or punt?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Hill?
Hi, Joey. Hill Overton, WNDB Radio. You've, of course, got a little more horsepower with a tapered spacer than you had here back in February. You as the driver, do you have a little more control now? You got more throttle response. Can you control your own destiny a little bit better than you could under the old restrictor plate rules and with the current situation?
I don't think you can control it any more than we used to. I think you're in quite a bit of control of your own destiny here anyway. But, you know, maybe the recovery factor is a little better. You know, if something was to happen, you have more horsepower, you can get up to speed quicker. But once you're up to speed, they run pretty much the same, right? You have so much more aero drag than what we used to. That kind of levels you back out to where it is, right? Even though you feel like you have more horsepower, there's times that maybe when someone's pushing you or something like that, it's easier to spin the tires because you have more horsepower, right? If someone's bumping you down the straightaway and stuff, you have more horsepower. You also just have so much more drag that just kind of brings you back to where it's the same.
But when you punch the throttle, do you feel more response? Does it shove you back in the seat a little more than it did here previously?
A little bit, like restarts and things like that.
Yeah.
A little bit there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to know. Thank you.
Go next to Jerry, then we'll wrap up with Martin.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net. Here for Saturday night, what is your strategy for going out there? Obviously, you guys want to win, but with you and Brad both having wins, do you try to help Ryan at all, or is it the all Ford mentality, or is it the Team Penske first? How does that work out?
Guess you have to wait and see. That's why you watch the race. I think what you're going to see is, and I don't think it's going to be a secret to really anyone, but you're going to see manufacturers working together. Just because what we saw in Talladega, it forces everyone's hands to have to do that, to have a chance. You hope that you're the guy in the lead of it, but you might not be, and you have to be okay with it. I want to push anything with a blue oval on it.
Martin?
I'm so sorry I came in late in case this was already asked, but I know you guys don't care where you drive, when you drive, but this race losing kind of that holiday feel to it, the allure of it, is that a big deal? And secondly, this track, this place being the last stop before the playoffs, do you think that adds something?
Do you want to give him the quotes that I said earlier? I can say the same thing if you want. He had the same question. But I think just in general, that I think making this a cutoff race before the playoffs is a good move. I think that keeps it something really exciting. I think it adds a lot of drama to our sport to where you're never out, you know, of this thing. You know, sometimes, you know, if you weren't really in contention into that bubble spot by points, by the time you got to the final race at a cutoffs, you kind of thought, oh, I'm kind of out of it. I might not win at that type of racetrack. But here, anybody can win. And so I think by NASCAR moving this race to that moment is going to be something that adds more drama and you know more possibilities of things that can happen. So, cool. I think that's kind of what the schedule does in general. A lot of the moves they did over the offseason that they announced, at least, is going to really just add more stuff for you guys to talk about, right? And more for us to worry about. That's kind of what it does. No, you're fine. It's good.
Well, Joey, thanks for joining us, and good luck as the drama unfolds tomorrow night.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.